Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
This is a very special day for those of us who worship at the Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, every first day of the week is special to us because we get to come and worship God. We get together with those of like precious faith to honor our King, to come and to sing songs of praises to God, come and to pray together, thanking God for those things that He has done for us and requesting His attention to those things that in our mind we need from Him. It's a great day. It's a day when we get to give of our means, that we get to share back with God from those physical blessings that He so regularly showers upon us. We get to come together and hear lessons of God's Word. We get to consider the truths that have been revealed to us by God for our own benefit. We get to be built up by studying God's Word. We get to study in a classroom environment those things that are important, and we get to be motivated by those who stand before us and preach the Word of God. When we get together, we're blessed that we get to associate one with another, to be with such good people. I suppose best of all, though, we get together around the table and partake of the Lord's Supper. We get to bring into our mind on a regular basis those sacrificial blessings that Jesus Christ freely gave by coming to earth and dying on the cross for our sins. You know, Jesus didn't have to do that. He loved us so much that not only did He bring Christianity to the face of the earth, but He brought access to Christianity. He stood before those who wanted to kill Him. He hung on a cross in front of those who cried out that He was a blasphemer and hated Him. And He did all of that for us. And as we gather together on the first day of the week and partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine in memory of His death, we are thrilled that someone would love us enough to do that. We are ashamed of our sins that hung Him on that cross, but we are so happy that one would be willing to die for someone like us. This is also a special day for us this day because we're only a few weeks from the opening of our what we call gospel meeting. Many of you may know that as a revival meeting. We're only 5 weeks from an event that's going to begin on November the 2nd and continue through November the 7th. That features a study of God's Word led by a very talented and gifted speaker named Roger Shouse from New Albany, Indiana. Roger has come and been with us before, and we have just learned so much, and we have come to respect his knowledge and the way that he presents God's Word so much, and we want you to feel welcome to come and to join with us in that special week. We don't want your money, but we'd sure like to be able to welcome you there. It's a time when we can meet new friends, when we can see those that we haven't seen for a while, and we just want you to keep on your calendar 2:00 on Sunday afternoon, November the 2nd, and then 7:00 each evening, November the 3rd through the 7th. We hope that you'll come and join us in this effort. Well, the third thing that we have to be especially thankful for today is that this is the final of the Final Things series of lessons that we're going to present on the radio. Perhaps not the final broadcast, but the final subject. If you'll remember, we started several weeks ago considering final things, those things that we read in Webster the dictionary as being things that are not to be altered or undone. We've identified three things from Scripture that are final things. We've talked about the judgment. The judgment is a final thing. We went to many passages of Scripture to prove that the judgment not only is a reality, but that the judgment will be that time when we hear Jesus Christ proclaim to us one of two destinations for eternity. Jesus will say to us on that great judgment day, either, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord," or he'll say, "Depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness, for I never knew you." The purpose of these lessons is to prepare us to hear the former rather than the latter when we face Jesus in judgment. The second final thing that we considered is that destination called hell. Hell was not a very fun place to look at through the descriptive terms used in the Scripture of that terrible place. We spent three lessons considering that place, and now today, the final of the final things about which we will study, that place called heaven. It's a special opportunity. It's a special time when Christians get to talk about that place that we live to go, that place that we call the home of the soul. We sing a song at our worship assemblies oftentimes, and it's entitled Home of the Soul. Listen, if you would, I'd like to read the lyrics. "If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chastening rod. Soon, the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, He is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea." Indeed, those words bring a cherished thought to the mind of a Christian. I'd like now to take some time and to study with you that wonderful place, that perfect place called heaven. First of all, I'd like to consider with you the question, who will be there? The Bible gives us several passages, several inspired looks at who will share that place. I would say that first of all, in answering the question, who's going to be there? The answer is, those who want to be there bad enough to back up that ambition with obedience to truth. Let me say that again. Those who will be in heaven are those who want to be there bad enough to back up that ambition with obedience to truth, who have the zeal to present and to live their convictions. Of course, that's a zeal that is according to truth, Romans 10 and verse 2. Also, if you would, consider Hebrews 4 and verse 9. There the Bible says, "There remains a rest for the people of God." My dad used to say, before he passed away, that why would anyone want to go to heaven that wasn't tired? It's a place of rest. You and I tire in the struggles of this life. We get tired from the rejections, from the persecutions that come our way as standing, as faithful Christians. But that tiredness, that weary feeling, will be overcome when we hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." And that's because there is a rest there for the people of God. Also, in Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 16, God has prepared a place for they who desire a better country. You remember, if you would, in Hebrews the 11th chapter, and talking about Abraham, it said that Abraham desired a better country, a place with foundations. I desire a better country. Oh, I think from a physical standpoint that the United States of America is absolutely the finest country on the face of the earth. I really don't think, even in light of the problems that we have, that there's any place close. Sometimes I get a little frustrated at people that talk about the negative of our country and just dwell on those things. Sometimes I just lean back and look at them and say, well, why don't you move? Why don't you select a country that's perfect? Why don't you select a place that doesn't have any of the ills that we have in this country and pack up and move? And when you find that place, if you'd let me know, I'll consider moving too. But until then, I'll stay where I am. We have a great nation, actually. When you consider the blessings that we have here with any other, even enlightened place, we are so far ahead. We're so comfortable that it becomes a temptation, doesn't it? But heaven is a better place. It is a better country. It has better inhabitants. It has better possibilities. And it has a never-endingness, an eternity about it. Well, secondly, let me suggest to you that heaven is for those who want to go and those who come to Jesus to prove that. Those who want to go to heaven must come to Jesus Christ while there is time. If you would now, let's look up a couple of passages of Scripture and consider them together. If you have your Bible, I would like for you to turn to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, we'll find our text, and I'd like to read verse 28 through 30. The words of Jesus, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light." I have a good friend who lives in Little Rock, Arkansas. His name is Doug Coy. And on August the 31st, 1994, Doug Coy, in a lesson presented at the Arch Street Church of Christ, said, "If your yoke isn't easy, then you're yoked to the wrong thing." Well, thank you, Doug, for saying that. That brings about a thought process that will be helpful to me in thinking about the right kind of things, in tying myself to those things that have eternal blessings attached to them. Did you note at the beginning of that passage Jesus said, "Come to me"? Well, that requires action, doesn't it? He didn't say, "I'm going to come to you, I'm going to bind you up, and I'm going to take you with me, and regardless of what you do or what you think, regardless of where you've been or where you're going, I'm going to take you with me, and you've got nothing to say about that." Well, that's not what he said. He said, "Come to me." That requires action on our part. That requires a going to the right person in the right way at the right place and the right time. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, if you would, turn to the last book of the New Testament, the last book in the Bible. That's the book of Revelation. And go clear back to the back part of that in chapter 22. I want to read with you verse 17. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me." We can come. All of the things that we need to make us happy for eternity will be provided in that place called heaven. You could well say, in light of our subject today, that you've got to come before you can go. I'd like to back that statement up by Scripture. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 21. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to that very important chapter, talks about our subject. Verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now I want you to go over to the book of Luke. Luke, the 6th chapter, and verse 46, there's some information for our study today that's important in developing this attitude about that final thing called heaven. Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" What a great question. There are so many people today that cry out that Jesus is their Lord, that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus is the Messiah for whom they have been waiting, and they are so blessed, and then they go about without any regard for the Word of God. They don't do what Jesus says. They don't even attempt at times to do what Jesus said. Let me read that verse again. It's in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 46. "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, I don't want you to go to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Let me give you a little insight with regard to the book of Hebrews. There were some Christians in the first century that were getting ready to leave Christianity and go back to the old form of religion. They were getting ready to go back to worshiping under what formerly was called the law of Moses. The book of Hebrews was written simply to say to those folks, Jesus is the better way. All of those things of aforetime were laid out, and the things that were brought by Jesus Christ were compared thereto, and in every instance, Jesus was the better way. Now, look at Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9. There the Bible says, "Although he was a son," it's talking about Jesus, "although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." We're talking here today about eternal salvation. We're talking about heaven. That's the result of being saved, is going to heaven. Look what the Bible said. Jesus became to all, who's that? Well, everybody. He became to all those who obey him. Well, now that limits the word all, doesn't it? It's not just those that exist, it's to those who obey him. Well, what did he become to those that obey him? He became the source of eternal salvation. If I say to you that Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to those that obey him, what does that necessarily imply that Jesus is to those who don't obey him? Well, he's nothing insofar as eternal salvation is concerned. Jesus came and died on the cross. And if there are those that disregard what he says and are not obedient, that death on the cross means nothing to them. There is no consequence of eternal happiness for one who is disobedient to God. Well, the Bible is not through in talking about that subject. I now invite you to look at Revelation 22 again. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, there the Bible reads, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city." Wow. Talking about heaven. Now I want you to look at Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 17 and 18. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, a clarifying phrase concerning the statement that we must come to Christ before we go to heaven. Look, if you would, now in verse 17, Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." The freedom from sin ties to obedience. When we obey Jesus Christ, when we obey the Word of God, we have access to salvation. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So those who don't keep the commandments of the Lord simply don't love Jesus. How would it make sense? How would it add up for a person to experience judgment, and we've proven that Jesus is a judge, and then hear Jesus state to them that heaven was their reward, if that person during his life disregarded the instructions, the laws of Christ, and did things his own way? How does that make sense? It never has, and it never will. Heaven is not only for those who want heaven bad enough to back up that ambition with obedience to truth. It's not only for those who want to go to heaven and come to Christ before judgment. It's for those who overcome. Revelation 2 and verse 3 emphasize the overcoming nature of a Christian. I'd like to close our broadcast today by reading two chapters. Not very often on this broadcast, I think never before on this broadcast have I read such a lengthy reading. But I want you to look with me, if you would, or to listen intently to Revelation, the second and third chapter. This is a message from Jesus to the churches. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden candlesticks, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, that you may have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. To the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because some there hold the teachings of Balaam, who keep teaching that Balak put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. Thus you also have come, also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Well, I got to stop right there because our time is up. But Lord willing, I'd like to begin right there in the next lesson in Revelation, the second chapter in verse 18, and talk about the availability of heaven to those who overcome, to those who rise above, to those who get tired but find rest in that home of the soul. Well, thank you for listening. I hope that you have ample opportunity this week to let a light shine for the Lord. I hope that you come and visit with us in the revival meeting that we're having November the 2nd through the 7th at the Monta Vista Church of Christ, with Roger Shouse from New Albany, Indiana, sharing with us his insight into Scripture. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.